WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. It's a special day each and every day, but especially today on WKAR because it is draft day. That's right, round one of the NFL draft set to take place tonight. The Lions have a big pick coming up in the later realm of that draft. They're going to not be on the clock till about 11 p.m., but we're going to fill you in with every draft pick in the top 10 as well as a few others based on what Michigan and Michigan State players could go and where in round one tonight. That's right, the draft starts at 8 p.m. We've got a full coverage, not least including Adam Biggers, MSU and U of M college hoop and football beat reporter for FanRag Sports. He's going to be on right around the half hour mark, 1:30, so stay tuned till and past then. Plus, MSU basketball, it's had a good stretch recently. I mean, I think that's pretty safe to say with Miles Bridges returning, a lot of top prospects coming in, but one top prospect going elsewhere. Mark Smith opted for Illinois over MSU. We'll talk about what that means for the program, if anything. How big of a deal is it that Mark Smith has decided to go a different route than 127 up to East Lansing? We'll talk about that. Plus, Throwback Thursday later on today's show. Plus, the NBA playoffs. We're right in the middle of that. We'll talk about that and so much more. Plus, you'll hear my full mock draft. I think that's the main attention for today's show for the first 10 picks of this round. And I'll let you know who I think is going where. We'll talk about all that, so much more. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to talk with me, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin, who's out in New York. And we'll make sure to get your opinions loud and clear on the show, talk about the draft or whatever you want. But you know how we start off each and every Current Sports episode. It's your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners to start off today. Starting off, more unfortunate news out of the Larry Nassar trial. According to the Lansing State Journal, three more Title IX investigations determined that former MSU doctor Larry Nassar violated university policy. University spokesman Jason Cody declined to comment to the Lansing State Journal on whether the latest investigations involve sexual assault. The investigations were the second, third, and fourth that Michigan State has closed since March 17th. Four-star recruit and 2017 State of Illinois Mr. Basketball winner Mark Smith announced yesterday that he would be taking his talents to Champaign, Illinois. Yeah, that's right. Not MSU, but no big deal. He continues to play basketball in his home state by committing to the Illini. He chose the Illini over MSU and Kentucky, amongst others, and he's rated as the 74th overall prospect in the country, according to 247 Sports. He's also a 6'5 point guard, so a lot of potential there. Maybe MSU missed out, but maybe they did. We'll talk about that later in today's show. Michigan State football, on the other hand, did add another player to its 2017 recruiting class by adding kicker Cole Hahn. Hahn was set to walk on for the Iowa Hawkeyes until he announced today via Twitter that he would flip his commitment to the team in green and white. Hahn is rated the number 16 kicker in the country, according to Cole's Kicking, and was also a teammate of incoming freshman quarterback Rocky Lombardi at West Des Moines High School. Former Michigan tight end and NFL draft prospect Jake Butt has always embraced his unique last name. This is a fun story right here. Now the folks at Procter & Gamble sure are taking advantage of that fortunate last name. Yesterday, the parent company of Charmin Toilet Paper delivered Dump truckload of the squeezable soft product to him in his hometown of Pickerington, Ohio. I love this write-up, y'all. This is funny as heck. Butt posted a video on his Instagram of the delivery with a hashtag, best dump ever. That's right. Jake Butt has had some fun with that in the past, and he might have a little bit more fun in the upcoming days as he's one of the Michigan players selected set to be selected in this year's upcoming NFL draft kicking off tonight. It's not going to be a first-round pick, but he'll probably be a day-two selection if I had to guess. Michigan State baseball erupted for a 7-run eighth inning and went on to beat Toledo 11-1 Wednesday afternoon at McLane Stadium at Cobbs Field. With the win, MSU improves to 21-16 overall, snapping a five-game losing skid. Leading MSU at the plate was freshman left fielder Bryce Kelly, who went 4-5 on the day with two RBIs, two runs scored, and a stolen base. The Michigan State softball team was also in action yesterday, but dropped a heartbreaking game against Central Michigan, the Chippewas, when in stunning fashion, when Erica Underwood delivered a grand slam in the bottom of the seventh inning to give her team a 6-2 walk-off win over MSU on Wednesday afternoon. Christina Zalewski started out on the mound for MSU and pitched six solid innings, giving up two runs and striking out nine on the day. That's a good night's performance, but honestly, CMU just came back, answered well. As I said, remember, there's only seven innings in college softball. 6-2 walk-off win after Erica Underwood hit the game-winning grand slam. The Spartans will travel to Rutgers for a three-game series starting Friday at 3 p.m. And also on the mound, the Detroit Tigers.
3-2 pitch. Bouncing ball to Hicks. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Valencia going to try to score. Here's a throw to the plate. Safe! 8-0 Mariners.
After scoring 19 runs on Tuesday, the Tigers were shut out on Wednesday night against the Mariners, losing 8-0, thanks in part to a dominating performance by Mariners pitcher James Paxton. Paxton improved to 3-0, undefeated on the season, after tossing seven shutout innings, giving up just four hits, walking one, and striking out nine. Daniel Norris fell to 1-2 on the season after throwing 104 pitches in just four innings. He allowed four runs, nine hits, two walks, and struck out four. Six Mariners had two or more hits, including Gene Segura, who went for 3 of 6 from the plate with two RBIs and two runs scored. And the Tigers just looked abysmal throughout. They will look to take another rubber match when Justin Verlander takes the mound against Hisashi Iwakuma at 1:10 p.m. today. We'll keep you updated with that one. The NFL is back. Well, at least temporarily. The NFL draft starts tonight, the first round of that. Michigan State only have one player hoping to hear his name called tonight. That's Malik McDowell.
Here comes the blitz. Hackenberg.
That's right. McDowell is rated as the number two overall defensive tackle for many draft experts, but questions about his character have caused him to slide in some mock drafts. Fans will have to wait a while for the Detroit Lions to pick. They do hold the 21st pick in the draft and aren't expected to make his selection to around 11 p.m. Of course, that's a very indefinite time, but several mock drafts have the Lions taking Jerod Davis, linebacker out of Florida, but don't be surprised too to see him jump up and grab Corey Davis. That's right, the wide receiver from Western Michigan University, if he's available. He might be selected higher though. Other potential picks include Temple linebacker Hassan Reddick, Alabama backer Reuben Foster, and Miami tight end David Njoku. Plus the NBA and NHL playoffs also have some big action set for tonight, but they continued last night in dramatic fashion. We have all the scores here to keep you up to date. Let's start in the NBA, where the Washington Wizards defeated the Atlanta Hawks at home by a score of 103-99.
Wall. Oh! John Wall with the hammer!
He's had a couple of those recently. John Wall also going behind the back in another game with a left-handed slam right over the face of several Atlanta defenders. I think Washington is a top five team in the NBA. We'll talk about that more later in the show, but his 20 points and 14 assists last night led the way for the Wizards, who now hold on to a 3-2 series lead heading to Atlanta next time. The Boston Celtics hosted the Chicago Bulls in their five matchup last night. The Celtics outscored the Bulls in the fourth quarter 29-16, seizing control of that game, and then ended up winning 108-97 to take a 3-2 series lead as well. In the NHL, the Nashville Predators defeated the St. Louis Blues 4-3 in game one of their second round matchup and continued their 5-game winning streak in these playoffs. Nobody even expected them to be here, at least, and let alone in 5 games. That's amazing. The other NHL game of the night, of course, was Edmonton Oilers visiting the Anaheim Ducks for game one of their second round series going into the third period of the game. It was tied 1-1 until the Oilers scored 4 goals and won the game 5-3 to take the early series lead. That wraps it up for your current sports quick hit headliners. Plenty of draft talk coming up. Again, my name's Isaac Constance, regular engineer, filling in for Al Martin. Call in. Help me out with today's show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-WKR. You can also reach me at Twitter at Isaac Constance. I'll read all your comments live on the air from there. And we've got so much to get to on today's show. Great guests, great topics. Just a great show planned for you. Let's start off right now.
Wentz question has finally yielded a result and an answer. It's Jared Goff.
With the second pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Carson Wentz, quarterback, North Dakota State.
It goes without saying that this is the highest a North Dakota State Bison has ever been drafted.
With the third pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the San Diego Chargers select Joey Bosa, defensive end, Ohio State. With the fourth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Ezekiel Elliott. With the fifth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey, defensive back, Florida State. With the sixth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Ronnie Stanley, tackle, Notre Dame. With the seventh pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select DeForest Buckner, defensive end, Oregon. The Cleveland Browns have traded the eighth pick to the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans select Jack Conklin, tackle, Michigan State.
Tennessee does get the protection.
With the ninth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Leonard Floyd, linebacker, Georgia. 16. With the 10th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Eli Apple, defensive back, Ohio State.
Wow, the headline writes itself, the Big Apple.
That's right. It's draft day. I'm excited. And, you know, preparing for today's show, my name's Isaac Constance, once again filling in for Al Martin. It reminded me a lot of the impending doom that's set to take hold on Michigan State's campus. Because draft day, it's such a deluge of information. Just things hitting you left and right. It's a bombardment of different players you've never heard of, schools you never heard of, all sorts of teams with picks, trade possibilities. There's just so much that goes into it each and every year. And reminds me of MSU right now because it is finals week here on the campus of Michigan State University, where you just have to cram if you're like me. If you're like most Michigan State University students, I think you're safe to say in the boat where preparing for class a few weeks in advance, that's not really how to do it. It's all about going to the library the night before, 7-hour shifts, cranking through it. I had an exam this morning on meteorology, honors meteorology, and I'm happy to say it went okay. I'm right on the edge of a 4035. Be interesting to see where that ends up, just like it'll be interesting to see where so many different variables end up tonight. 8 p.m., the NFL draft taking place once again, and I'm really excited for it. A lot of different uncertainties about this year's class, I think. You've had more drama than usual with off-the-field issues, failed drug tests. You've had cases, of course, I mean, nobody wants to see this, but of sexual assault, domestic violence that have totally thrown a monkey wrench into the expected order of this year's draft. Plus, you got the normals. You got the regulars, who you'd expect to be right at the top. Difference is, no real standout quarterback in this year's draft. We're going to talk about all of this in great detail coming up in just a second. But again, I just want to go over what the draft is, because you heard in that last segment, two quarterbacks selected back-to-back, 1 and 2, Jared Goff, disappointing season, Carson Wentz, outstanding season for him. And you have the tradition of Roger Goodell taking the podium, immediately getting booed relentlessly. That will not change this year, but maybe not so much in the first round, as the New England Patriots don't have a first-round pick. They don't own their 32nd, which would close out the night. So Roger Goodell is at least safe from Patriots fans. But a lot of draft talk that's swirling around, so let's dive right into it. Let's do it. First pick of the NFL draft belongs to the Cleveland Browns. And you know they're going to find a way to mess it up, but I think the consensus pick here, who I want to see them pick, who everybody wants to see them pick, despite the Warren Sapp opinions contrary to that, is Myles Garrett, the Texas A&M defensive end, who can just come in, immediately make an impact. Do the Browns need a quarterback? Sure they do. And Mitch Trubisky, North Carolina quarterback, pro style, all of that. He'll be sitting there waiting for him. I've heard a few rumors, more and more so, gaining steam as the draft grows a little bit near, about Trubisky being a number one overall pick. Folks, I just don't see it. The Browns also have the 12th pick in the draft. Trubisky should be there waiting for them. And you know what? If they missed out on Trubisky, I just don't think it's a big deal whatsoever. I like other quarterbacks actually more so than Trubisky in the first place. I like Patrick Mahomes more, the Texas Tech quarterback with a cannon for an arm, an athlete, a good leader on the football field. I think he's really got a good chance to be something special in the NFL. He reminds me a little bit of, I hate making this comparison because it's not perfect, but a Dak Prescott, just in the way that he's mobile, but also with a rocket arm. He can stay up, stay in the pocket under pressure. I really like Mahomes. And I also, of course, like Deshaun Watson. I think he's a proven winner. I think he's somebody who is going to transcend the quarterback position, find a way to win no matter what his critics might say about his form, or if he's a pro-style quarterback, if he's short, whatever it might be. I like Deshaun Watson. I'm not a big Trubisky fan. Again, I've got the Browns going. Myles Garrett, though, the explosive Texas A&M defender, who I think is just going to wreak havoc in the NFL immediately. I have the Browns selecting him number one. He's the clear best player in this draft, if you ask me, just from a skill and potential standpoint. He reminds me of a Jadeveon Clowney or Julius Peppers type impactor on the defensive side. I think he's really that good. I think he's that mature of a player when it comes to the football field. You've heard complaints about him maybe taking plays off, but when this guy's motivated, when it came to the SEC season, Myles Garrett showed up game in, game out, and without a doubt, he kept A&M in several games single-handedly. He's a defensive lineman who can shut down plays on the other side of the field. That's how fast he is. He runs a 4.64 40-yard dash. He got 33 reps on the bench press. This guy is an athletic aberration. You don't see many of him ever. No matter what the position is, he's got the height, he's got the strength. He really is going to find a way, in my opinion, to immediately be a top NFL defensive end. Like I said, Jadeveon Clowney, Julius Peppers, two names that come to mind when I think of Myles Garrett. That's pretty consensus, though. You didn't need me to tell you that. You could go to pretty much any mock draft, and Myles Garrett is the number one pick pretty much across all those different boards. Number two, that's a little bit different. And maybe this is hometown bias. As you know, as I proudly pub, I'm from New Orleans, grew up an LSU fan, diehard. Both my parents attended Louisiana State University, go Tigers. And I think the 49ers have a little bit of that connection. Eric Reed already in the secondary playing safety, one of their best players for a team that was so disappointing last year. But Eric Reed, I think, still has a large leadership impact on that team. So why not go with another LSU safety or nickel or dime corner? He's versatile. He can return picks for touchdowns like taking candy from a baby. He's just as good as it gets at the safety position. Jamal Adams. I'm big on Jamal Adams. I think he goes second overall in this draft class. I think he's not just a big name, but he's a player who's got the physical skill set to immediately come in, make the difference for that 49ers team. Plus, I've seen some people more or less endorse signing a quarterback or a cornerback with the second overall pick. If you're the 49ers, I just don't see that. I think you want somebody on the defensive side. That's where your point of pride was back in the day. That's where you made all your money. That's where all the success came from. Bring that back. Bring in Jamal Adams. Solidify that secondary. You want a ball hawk. You want somebody who's going to hit hard, but also know how to play a good cover too, know how to drop down into a coverage against a tight end, a big tight end, because there's certainly one of those in this year's draft as well. I'll bring that up in just four picks. But Jamal Adams, in my opinion, second pick of the draft. Third, Chicago Bears. I hate the Bears more than any other team. I know there are definitely some Bears fans up here, so I'm kind of hoping they make this pick because I think this would be a mistake. But I also think there's a high probability that the Bears fluff it up once again with their draft pick and go this route. I'm going to say they go Marshawn Lattimore, corner out of OSU. And the reason I say that is initially a corner in the first three picks sounds a little bit ambitious. You know, you want somebody, like I said, who's going to be on the ball, whether it's defense or offense. You want them as close to that ball carrier. You want them as close to the ball flying as much as possible. That's why I like Jamal Adams over Marshawn Lattimore. But the thing is, Lattimore is a shutdown corner. And in today's NFL, we see it time and time again how valuable that can be for a team. Richard Sherman manages to absolutely isolate a side of Patrick Patterson. We see the NFL more and more going for these guys who can push on an island. That's what it's called, Revis Island, Darrell Revis Island. Everybody wants this corner who's basically going to make the pass side of offense ineffective on a whole side of the field. That's what they're going for. That's what the Bears think Marshawn Lattimore can be. Now, they dumped Tracy Porter, who was one of their top cornerbacks earlier in this offseason. They've traditionally depended on defense. They've got a new system coming in and a new defensive coordinator, all of that. I think Marshawn Lattimore to the Bears makes sense, and I think it'll ultimately keep them in the purgatory of football. So I really hope they do it as well because I'd love to see the Bears just continue to stink it up. Now, the Jaguars, this is a pretty consensus pick as well. No clear number one running back for them. So, who are you going? Leonard Fournette. I think this will be the second of two LSU players drafted within the top 10. I think he's a clear, clear candidate to be one of the best running backs in the NFL off the bat. He's got power. He's got speed. He breaks tackles. Shoot, he doesn't just break tackles. He destroys them. I mean, he runs over guys. He hurdles. Leonard Fournette is an all-around running back. More than anything, the Jaguars also have Denard Robinson in the backfield still. So Denard, very different from Leonard, more of a cross-field type guy. He likes getting out to the perimeter, trying to make somebody miss with a quick juke move and turn on the Jets. Of course, that's what he did at the University of Michigan, too. So bring in more of a power guy. Bring in somebody who's going to be an all-round back, two downs. Bring in Denard on third down. I think this makes perfect sense. Only question is, will a team want to go out there, maybe try to break that pickup before it happens? Maybe somebody tries to trade up for Leonard Fournette because they think he's a once-in-a-lifetime type running back, which I think is certainly possible. However, because of the health problems, I don't think anybody wants to give up more picks than they're going to get back for Leonard Fournette. I think he goes fourth overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, fifth overall, Tennessee Titans. This is where my draft has more or less a wonky pick. It's not something that I saw in too many mocks. I just feel it coming. Mike Williams, Clemson wide receiver, big body. Here's the thing. You got Marcus Mariota, of course, at that QB position. Young guy holding down the fort. He's mobile from that position, but he's also extremely, unconventionally accurate for the type of quarterback he is. So Marcus Mariota, he needs some receivers to throw to. Bring in a big body. Mobile quarterbacks love having big bodies to throw to. Think of Doug Baldwin in Seattle, or think of all the different weapons that they equipped Cam Newton with. No, that's a joke. But Cam Newton's biggest receiver was always Greg Olsen when he was on Carolina. Again, big body, dependable, steady hands. That's what you want if you're out of the pocket looking for somebody to throw to when the defense is bearing down on you. Help out Marcus Mariota. Build this offense consistently, and get Mike Williams, Clemson wide receiver. Then, sixth pick, the Jets. J-E-T-S are going O.J., I'm calling. O.J. Howard, tight end from Bama. This guy's been pegged as possibly the next Jimmy Graham, Gronk, Julius Thomas, Antonio Gates, and the measurables stack up. 250 pounds, 4.5 140 yard dash. That's the same time as Leonard Fournette. This guy's a tight end. He's also a good pass blocker. Run blocking, I'm not quite as convinced on O.J. Howard, but if you need somebody to protect in the back, yes, you can definitely use O.J. Howard. So those are my top six picks. Real quickly, going through the rest of it, this is going to be a little bit more brief, but my number seven pick, I've got the Chargers going Malik Hooker, another Ohio State player. Ball hawk safety, three return TDs. I think the Chargers want to augment that defensive pressure as well. And Malik Hooker is certainly somebody who can come up and make a play as well as remain dependable in coverage. Joey Bosa, of course, won Defensive Rookie of the Year last year, the also former Ohio State players. And when you have a good experience, when you've got an anecdote that you like telling with a player from a school, you tend to go with a player from that same program. It's just how it goes in the NFL. Number eight, Carolina Panthers. They want Christian McCaffrey. They want somebody to split the workload with Jonathan Stewart. And they want McCaffrey to come in, be an instant contributor, help them rebound from the awful season that was last year for the Carolina Panthers. He's been impressive in workouts, quick feet, solid hands, and they can still run everything through Cam Newton. This isn't somebody who's going to demand the ball too much. This is somebody who can play, in many ways, a Danny Woodhead-type role to start off. You can give him 10 touches a game, seven carries, three receptions, and McCaffrey will still manage to be a difference maker for you. Good spell back, and again, he'll split time with Jonathan Stewart in that backfield. Excuse me. Cincinnati Bengals, I've got them going Solomon Thomas, about as low as I've seen him come, but he's a guy who can play D-end or D-tackle. I could see him going to the Bears as well, because defensive coordinator Vic Fangio was actually defensive coordinator at Stanford in 2010, and they've kept that system around. But at the Bengals, if he's available, he will get drafted by them. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, they could look to assemble possibly a mini New York Giants line from 2011 and 2012. That one, of course, which included Justin Tuck, O.C. Umenyura, Jason Pierre-Paul, Chris Canty, Rocky Bernard. Yeah, if you could replicate that, you would want to. I think the Cincinnati Bengals, if Solomon Thomas is available, they will try to do just that. number 10. And I know we've got Ray from Indiana on the phone, but Corey Davis, Western Michigan University. I think the Bills are still looking for someone to replace Sammy Watkins. The void that he left, I think Corey Davis, a balanced wide receiver with a deep ball threat, is exactly what that new refurbished team could be looking for. They've got a new coach. They got fed up with Ryan's defense first priority. They, of course, hired actually a former defensive coordinator to take that over. But I think they'll try to give a little bit more help this time to Tyrod Taylor. I think Corey Davis is a great way to do that, relieve some pressure. And Tyrod Taylor is one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL. A little bit inconsistent, but maybe a little bit more consistent if he can get Corey Davis on one flank to help him out. Call in. What do you think about the draft? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I believe we actually have Ray from Indiana on the phone right now. Ray, what do you think about the draft tonight?
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you? Excited for the draft?
There are three things you can figure for sure in the NFL draft. You know what they are?
Huh.
The Browns, Lions, and Jets will screw up the draft.
That's a pretty good assumption. I think so as well. But the Lions have been
Browns
doing better
are talking
recently.
About taking that quarterback instead of that the top defensive tackle in the country.
Yep, Mitch Trubisky over Myles Garrett. Ray, I don't even think the Browns are stupid enough to do it, though. You think they'll pull the trigger?
I don't know. I've seen them over the years, 50, 60 years doing this. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. The same with the Lions and the Jets. I've been watching them for 50 years. It's the same way. Hey, let's go on to the Messiah. He's over in Rome, right?
Jim Harbaugh, Ray is referring to. Yes, he is in Rome.
Yeah, the Messiah that was brought in. He can't beat Ohio State, but he can talk to – who's paying for all these trips that they're going to Rome and all everywhere else?
Oh, it's the Michigan Athletic community, I'm sure. There's nothing shady about
yeah,
that. A lot
people.
Of teams make trips, in fairness.
Not like these guys are doing now.
It's an exorbitant one. I'll give them that. It's an exorbitant one. It's one that you'd be happy to be on if you were a player. But
What is he going to go do next, Red China Wall?
I really don't follow him that closely, right? I haven't talked to him recently.
Why don't they go to North Korea?
I think that's kind of off limits right now. But no, I know, Ray. I'm just messing with you.
It's just crazy that Harbaugh comes in there, and he hasn't been able to beat Ohio State yet.
Yeah.
He's nothing but a jerk. That's all he is.
I think he's a well-proven coach, Ray, but obviously he has his faults as well. Do you think any Michigan players get selected in the first round of the draft tonight?
I don't know. I thought Peppers would, but now after that diluted water, I don't know what to think of all this stuff, this diluted stuff. They're both of them are challenging it and saying it's just water. Come on. How come that all these other people drink water doesn't be tested like that?
Well, these are unusually large amounts of consumption that they had. 8 to 10 bottles is what I heard for the water samples. It clearly does look like you're trying to cover something up. And I think, in my mind, that there's no reasonable, smart, worthy agent in the NFL who would allow their draft prospect right before the combine to take in 8 to 10 bottles of water. I think this is obvious what it is. Do I think it's a big deal? No, not really. I mean, a lot of players dope. A lot of them do it before the NFL. Listen, it's better to get caught beforehand than afterwards. A team can obviously turn that around. But at the same time, it's pretty clear to me what this looks like.
What's going on with that Conley guy getting caught with rape right before the draft? I can't figure out how these kids put themselves in this position that close to the draft to let things like that happen.
Yeah, well, Garion Conley, of course, you're referring to, Ray. He's still reportedly being accused of sexual assault. I did see something recently, a TMZ video, I believe, which indicated that he might be all right at the end of it, but we'll keep you updated with that.
Well, you know, it seems like every draft there's a couple guys that get in trouble. This guy last year, they said, he ended up getting off all the charges, but it took him. He didn't even get drafted in the 7 rounds. I mean, you can have girls accusing guys. Maybe I'm not saying they didn't do it, but I'm just saying you could have one or two every year accuse somebody of something they didn't even do.
Hey, legal system in easy, and that's what makes all of this so difficult is when it comes out right before the draft, it's hard to know who's right, who's wrong. You just got to take your chances. Right, we got to move along here.
Hey, one more thing before I go. Spartans and Buckeyes, beat them bullies up again next year.
We'll see. A lot of talent leaving on both sides, right? Thanks for the call. All right, if you want to be like Ray from Indiana, call in, share your opinions, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, I just want to briefly go over who I have my home team Saints again, Jonathan Allen, Alabama, balanced defensive end. I think he'd pair well with Cam Jordan. But more importantly, I want to spend a couple of minutes just real quickly on the Lions draft pick. As I mentioned in the quick hit headliners, probably not till 11 p.m. tonight will the Lions be on the clock. But at the same time, we could possibly see a few big names trickle down into that spot. Who I've got the Lions getting, and it's clear to me if he's there. Reuben Foster, Alabama, every down player, hasn't really had any issues with toughness or effort on the field whatsoever. I think he could be that low only because of the diluted sample for urine during the drug test. That's not a big deal, as I mentioned. This guy did it beforehand. You're not going to get punished as a team. This simply really is held against him when it comes to draft stock. That's okay. You want him because he's a winner. He played at Alabama. He's a hard hitter. He's physically a titan. He plays the game very smart as well. He's a first-team All-American, All-SEC first team, SEC championship MVP. The accolades go on for Reuben Foster if he's there, and he lights people up. I've rarely seen such acceleration on a guy who can play the middle linebacker slot if you want him to. He can just get into the backfield, blow somebody up. I've heard Ray Lewis comparisons because he's mean too. I mean, the guy gets into you, but he's a leader at the same time. He's one of those guys who, if nothing else, you want him on your team so you don't have to play against him. More than anything, the Lions do need a linebacker. No DeAndre Levy anymore. Kyle Van Noy, of course, released. Went on to play for the Patriots, the Super Bowl-winning Patriots team. Steven Tola, retired. The Lions need linebackers. Plain and simple. Go with Reuben Foster if he's there. If not, I want Jerod Davis. I think getting that SEC breed would be good. Jerod Davis is safe for me as well. I think he's somebody who's had consistent seasons. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one or two injury bugs recently, but doesn't seem to be anything chronic. He's speedy, a little bit undersized possibly, but covers the secondary well. I think he'd also come in, be an instant contributor. But like I said, if Reuben Foster is there, select Reuben Foster. One more name I saw, TJ Watt. Don't get him. I like him, but the guy is not at the same level when it comes to NFL competitiveness, athleticism, and ability to instantly contribute as Davis or Foster are. But anyway, I want to hear your opinions about the upcoming draft. Call in 517-355-9527. We're going to hit our first break right now. Coming right out of that, we're going to have Adam Biggers on the show. He's a Michigan reporter for Fan Rag Sports, and he's going to give us a preview of the other side of the draft. What's going on with Michigan football and their prospects? We'll have him on. Keep it tuned to WKR AM 870 and FM 94.5.
Something like a hot cup of coffee.
Oh, Todd, I have to disagree with you, Todd. I take a look at a standard cup of hot Joe that compared to the dynamic, hard-hitting, electric, cold beverage like an iced mocha frappuccino. Huge upside on the extra ice. Adds 30 to 40 minutes to your lifespan, your delicious frozen beverage. Risk is in the hot coffee like mouth burn, hot spill. For my money, if I had to spill coffee in my lap, I'm taking iced coffee over a hot one that could leave you potentially scarred for life. Cold coffee, flying under the radar, no lap injuries, safe bet. You'd be hard-pressed to tell me otherwise.
Yeah, there you heard Mel Kiper Jr. No, just kidding. That's comedian Frank Caliendo doing his best impression, which is a pretty good one of Mel Kiper Jr. All sorts of hype, all sorts of mania swirling around draft day like each and every year. And we're going to be talking more and more about that. But real quick, I want to bring on Lions fan, engineer for the day, Jacob Herbert. Of course, you brought up that bite. What gets you most excited for draft day?
Those right there. The Mel Kiper, himself is great, but I love the impressions. Gotta love Frank Caliendo.
Oh, it's so comical. Each and every year, you've got these different spoofs. You've got recruits and different players, future NFL prospects getting involved. It's a good time each and every year. Who do you hope the Lions get, though, with that 21st pick?
Excuse me. Well, it kind of depends. You and I were talking earlier before the show started. I don't think a guy like Fournette or McCaffrey are going to follow you at 21. But, you know, maybe a guy, as Mel Kiper would say, flying under the radar. Not really. But Dalvin Cook, if he's there,
yeah.
I think the Lions, you know, need a running back, obviously. The running game was had a rough year last year. Let's just say that.
Certainly did.
But I think your biggest need is linebacker. With the loss of DeAndre Levy, Tolik retiring, you need to fill that position. And I think one guy that you were kind of talking about, or that we were talking about also earlier, is that Hassan Reddick out of Temple.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy, believe it or not, was a zero-star recruit going into Temple, and now he's talked about going in the first round. So I think the Lions need to address linebacker, and I think he should be first on their board if Reuben Foster isn't available.
Well, no work ethic issues there. If the guy was a former zero-star recruit, I think that's a pretty good indication of what he's going to bring to your team. Like you said, if Reuben Foster is there, he's still my pick, but it'll be interesting to see what the Lions do. Now, in Michigan, all sorts of NFL draft action outside of just the pro Detroit Lions team. Of course, we've got three colleges actually this year. Western Michigan, too, sending some significant prospects to the NFL draft. And on to talk about right now, Adam Biggers, MSU and U of M hoops and football beat reporter for FanRag Sports. Adam, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Isaac. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining me. You have a draft plans for tonight, or you're just hanging out and watching it on the couch?
Well, I'm going to be watching it from home. Kind of my thing will be watching to see if Jabril Peppers slips out of the first round. I heard your previous segment with Ray, so he did express some concern. Mm-hmm. And I think that Michigan is having a spring ball on the moon next year. That is the plan, according to some sources.
Yeah. So,
but I think the main thing tonight, if you follow Michigan football, is to see if Jabril Peppers, you know, indeed falls out of the first round. Like a lot of people are thinking that. A lot of mock drafts this morning, you know, aren't including him in the first round.
Do you expect any Michigan players then to go in the first round? Of course, Taco Charlton's a name that's been thrown around in that conversation as well.
Yeah, I think there's actually three guys with that have legitimate shots. I think Jabril, talent wise, it's kind of funny with him being a top 10 pick, you know, consensus a couple months ago, or you know, toward the end of the season, what have you, and to this. And, you know, the concerns and all the other stuff, you know, totally different discussion. But I don't see a lot of risk with Jabril Peppers. I covered him, you know, when he's at Michigan, and I've seen what he can do and talked to him extensively. I believe that he is the real deal total package. I think Chris Wormley also is a guy mm-hmm. with potential fringe first-round talent. A lot of people talk about Taco, but Chris is ranked as a top 10 defensive tackle and defensive end. He's, you know, got that ability. You know, 3-4, 4-3. Taco also versatile. He could be a stand-up linebacker in some packages. So I think those three guys definitely have first-round talent. I would not be surprised to see Jabril still go in the first round, and I would not be surprised to see Taco go in the first round.
Gotcha. What did the diluted sample do to Jabril's draft stock?
It's risky. You know, when you talk about it, I mean, was he trying to, you know, spoof a drug test? I don't know. Was it intentional? I don't know. I mean, a lot of people do drink water. The reports about the cramping, that is true. I mean, if anything, maybe the cramping to me would be more of a concern than the one dilute sample. Now, if there's a second dilute sample, then I think that shows, you know, clear deception, and that I would be worried about that. But earlier this week as well, you know, Danny Cannell, former ESPN guy, was saying that he had Michigan players tell him that Jabril Peppers faked an injury prior to the Orange Bowl. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, I talked with Ryan Schuling earlier this week on his program, and I think that that is totally unfounded. Mm-hmm. I was right there watching him stretch. I talked to him in the locker room after the game, talked to several players since then. You know, the questions and concerns about his commitment and, you know, that type of stuff to his team, I don't think should be a question or commitment. Everyone I've talked to said, you know, he gave his all. So I think it's kind of odd timing. I do understand that there's concern. I mean, there's other stuff that we're concerned about him, right? The positionless argument, and then you pile on the dilute sample, and then mm-hmm. you pile on, you know, Cannell's off-base comments, and it does kind of create a little bit of doubt.
Absolutely. Adam, who do you think will be the best Michigan prospect, let's say 5 years from now, down the road? A lot of potential in this draft, not just the first round, but who do you think a team gets and is really able to hang their hat on?
That's a loaded one, Isaac, because this could potentially be a record-setting class for Michigan. I believe the record is 14 picks. Ohio State had that a few years ago. They had like 10 go in the first round, or the first three rounds, rather. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, there's a few guys. I think Jordan Lewis, you know, maybe size is a bit of concern at the NFL level, but, I mean, he's demonstrated. I mean, we all saw that interception against Wisconsin. We all saw his junior year with the pass breakups. He's an All-American as a senior. I think that Jordan could be a good player, but, circling back to Taco and Chris, we've seen guys, you know, defensive line is a premium position, right? And if you can get a guy who's a gem up front, you can build franchises around those types of players. And I'm not by any means saying that they're franchise players. Maybe, you know, 5-6 yep. years down the road, who knows? I mean, Taco was injured as a senior. I mean, and he had 10 sacks. You know, we didn't mm-hmm. even see the highest end of Taco. I mean, Chris Wormley is really up to his level the past couple of years. So I'm excited to see what those guys could do in the NFL. Those are guys I think you could probably hang your hat on.
Absolutely. I think, actually, Michigan is being pegged by several different experts. One I'm looking at right now, Chad Reuter for NFL.com, as the school with the most talent going into this year's draft class. I just want to read his analysis briefly, but he's got Taco Charlton, Jabril Peppers, Chris Wormley, all in the early rounds. He's got Jake Budd, Amari Darbo, Ryan Glasgow, Jordan Lewis in the middle rounds. But then even going into the late rounds, you got guys like Davion Smith, J.U. Chesson, Ben Gideon, Delano Hill, all of those guys. And there's more, as you mentioned. I mean, Michigan could conceivably break their record this year. Is this the most talented Michigan class that we've seen?
It's certainly the most talented Michigan class that I've covered, and yeah. I'd have to say one of the most talented classes that I can remember in recent memory. That we're talking, you know, going back to the 90s, you know, late 97 championship team, early 2000s, really good teams. Yeah, these guys are absolutely loaded, and I think it's just a byproduct of Jim Harbaugh's NFL coaching style. Yeah, things have changed. The guys are being coached better, but, I mean, it's not dramatically. I mean, he coached – these are – a lot of these guys, if not all of them, are Brady Hoke guys, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
yeah.
this is kind of the Jim Harbaugh touch. This is what I think I'll come to expect, you know, on an annual basis. He's doing a great job there.
Yeah, if you heard Ray's call too, Ray mockingly referred to him as the Messiah. There's some truth in the way that Jim Harbaugh has a little bit revived this Michigan program. Now, of course, Jim Harbaugh is involved with a little bit of a spiritual side himself right now over in Rome. Have you been keeping up with that trip whatsoever, Adam?
I was, you know, I think we briefly entertained the idea of me going to Rome, but I think
really?
There's a lot of stuff over here, so it kind of outweighed it. I did hear Ray's segment. I thought it was pretty entertaining. I get it. You know that he could be in your face. He's doing stuff that people don't normally do, and some people don't like it. But it is all above the board. So I want to reassure Ray, if you're still listening, Ray, and I think Isaac, you did the same. It is donor money. It's all above the board. All completely within the rules. So you know it's not anything that Jim Harbaugh is doing anything to cheat or unfair advantage. And it's but he is that type of right. Every time he tries to do something in satellite camp or whatever, it is criticized. But I talked to a lot of the players before they went to Rome. There's actually Keith Washington. When he gets back from Rome, mm-hmm. he's flying to Buenos Aires to study abroad.
Huh.
Actually, so you know, there a lot of these guys are doing a lot of traveling, some for the first time. And yeah, you see the videos and stuff. And Harbaugh gave the Pope some Jordans and Michigan hat, I think, was it? And
yeah.
I would give him a pair of Jordans. And yeah, they're, you know, meeting with refugees and spreading the game of American college football. I think a lot of people should look at it that aspect, too. It's not just a Michigan thing. It's not just a Jim Harbaugh thing. I think it is an effort to spread the game of American college football. And I mean, Michigan being a recognizable program, obviously that helps. But I don't think it's purely I don't think it's something that's just going to purely benefit the Wolverines. I think that the exposure is good for the game overall.
Absolutely. I want to ask, too, what are the chances that Pope Francis actually puts on those Jordans?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What are the chances that Pope Francis ever dons the Jordans? You think he ever touches them or puts them on?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I am not Catholic, but I'm sure there's probably a strict papal, am I saying, a papal dress code?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that he probably accepted them in good faith and appreciates the gesture behind it. But I don't, if he does wear them, I would like to see that because you know they are sharp shoes, and I mean maize and blue. Whether it's not your color, they're still nice. They're Jordan 5, so you know those are still nice shoes. Maybe he will.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping too. But yeah, see, being a Catholic myself as well, it's like I could see Pope Francis. He's revolutionary, all of that. Maybe he slips them on once just before going to sleep or something like that. I mean. Just rock it out. Get a little bit of swag. I mean, not that he doesn't have it, but I don't think Jordans have ever hurt somebody's swagger necessarily. So, last question, Adam, actually. But the state of this Michigan team, we mentioned all the guys going to the draft next year. They're in Rome right now. They're having fun. Nobody's worrying about it. But this is obviously a roster that's lost a lot of key contributors. How are they looking shaping up for next year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can't deny it. You know, 10 starters. I mean, every starter almost, I think, but 10 of 11 starters on defense was all Big Ten in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It is it's no question that they're losing a lot of guys. But I think when you look at leadership quality, a good team, I feel like if you have a solid quarterback, that's always a plus. And I mean, and we've seen this in the past with Michigan State. So, you know, I'm not comparing Wilton Spate to Connor or Kirk or anything like that, but having a steady quarterback and having a steady quarterback for more than 1 year is a positive. So I think having Wilton Spate and with his development, they have really talented freshman receivers too. I like Tariq Black a lot. I like Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, they're still pieces. I mean, they're quick at linebacker, but I mean, just off the top of my head right now, I mean, last year there was no doubt they were a 10-win team. I mean, just base analysis right now, I mean, I would probably lock them in for 8 wins just due to the talent drop-off. But at the same time, they are capable, I think, of surprising, and we'll see how things work out. With a team so young, you know, it could go one of two ways, right? These guys are either pretty good and they get quickly acclimated or they struggle. So it's your guess or mine. We'll go with that. How's that?
Definitely. We can go with that just fine. Adam Bigger, sports reporter for today, FanRag Sports now, correct?
Yes, today's FanRag Sports.
Where can people read your work, Adam?
You could follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. You can check us out on FanRag Sports at FanRagSports.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at FanRag_U.
Definitely. We'll make sure to pass word along as well. Adam, thanks so much for being on, and we'll have to get you on after the draft to talk a little bit more about what the results of it are.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Isaac. And when Al makes his way back to the office, tell him I said hello.
Absolutely will. Adam Biggers, again, U of M football and college basketball beat reporter for FanRag and today's U Sports. We're going to hit our second break coming out of that. We'll talk about Malik McDowell's draft prospects as well as Mark Smith picking the Illini over the Spartans. Big news coming out of MSU football camp and basketball camp. We'll talk about that so much more. You're listening to WKR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. He's out on vacation right now. He'll be back on Monday. However, we just got done chatting with Adam Biggers, Michigan football and basketball reporter for Today's U Sports and FanRag Sports. Adam gave us a brief overview of the Michigan prospects in this year's draft. So now we'll actually jump ship and go to MSU because it's looking a little bit bleaker. I'll touch on a few more guys tomorrow, but the only MSU prospect with real day one aspirations, Malik McDowell. And guess what? He's not going round one. I'm sorry, that's just how it goes, plain and simple. Malik McDowell, he had a stat drop-off significantly. 7 less tackles this past year, 3 less sacks from his sophomore season. He can be a little bit indolent at times on the field, uninvolved. He's always reportedly bad in his interviews. This is a guy who more or less estranged his chances of a first-round draft pick because he could have easily been that just a year ago. However, now I think Malik McDowell, he goes in the second round. He ends up being a good NFL player. Reminds me of an Akeem Hicks of sorts. I believe he's on the Chicago Bears right now. Good 3-4 defensive end. And I think Malik McDowell will be just fine. However, personality character issues have held him back. On the other side of Michigan State prospects, you of course see basketball losing out on a significant recruiting name. Mark Smith picking Illinois over MSU. And Spartan fans, you missed out on a good one, but don't fret because guess what? Still at the guard position. Mark Smith, he's a 6'5 point guard. He's versatile. He's got good court vision, lanky, and just good fundamentals on the court. Nothing crazy in terms of athleticism. And he's not going to be a number one draft pick or anything like that. You got Tum Tum Nairn at point guard. You got Cassius Winston at point guard. You got Josh Langford at shooting guard. You got Matt McQuaid at shooting guard. Simply, you've got enough men to man the boat. You'll be just fine without Mark Smith, and you'll be just fine without Gerald McCoy as well, the big man who chose to go to UNLV over MSU. That would have been a bigger get, but at the same time, Spartan basketball, you're riding high and mighty, my friends, high and mighty. No worries there. That wraps it up, though, for today's edition of Current Sports. Hope you've had a good April 27th so far and enjoy the draft tonight. Again, you've been listening to me, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin on WKR AM 870 East Lansing, also 94.5 FM. Thanks for tuning in.